Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 23rd of February. I want to remind you that we have our evening, our one Sunday night meeting per month in North Georgia tonight, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Flowery Branch, Georgia, Sterling-on-the-Lake Clubhouse Theater. I know many of you can't make it, but if you are traveling this year, why don't you check your, if you're coming through the Atlanta area, check your travel schedule and see if you're coming through on a weekend when we meet on Sunday nights. We meet every Tuesday night, and you're always welcome to that. Our Sunday meetings are a little different than the Tuesdays in that sometimes on Sunday we sing a little bit, but we always really have a lot more time to share. It's a little earlier in the evening, and so we try to take as much time as we can, just let everybody share what's on their heart. And I don't teach straight out of the book of John. I minister something else that's on my heart. So excited to do that tonight at 5. Of course, we record that and we'll air it on our site for you very soon. In fact, we'll air it next week. I'll tell you about that as this week proceeds. Speaking of this week, I go back on the road this week. We've had a pretty good hiatus of not getting on an airplane to go somewhere. We've done some local stuff, but it's time to get back at it. I leave on Wednesday this week for Warren, Ohio, fly into Cleveland and minister in Warren on Thursday night and Friday night. That's the 27th and 28th of February, and we do this every year. This is our fifth straight year, the end of the winter, of going to Warren. I have really learned to love this group like their extended family, and I look so forward to my trip to Warren. I've got to meet so many good people over the last 4 years being there who live in that area, but then every year it seems like someone new drives into Warren for that meeting that's been watching the YouTube or been listening on Podbean or checking out the podcast, whatever, and they drive in to meet us, and it's always a thrill. So come and see us this Thursday and Friday night, the Avalon Inn in Warren, Ohio. The address is at my website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule, and I would love to see you. I'm very excited about this trip. I'm always excited to start a new chapter. It's kind of where you get to pause, take a breath, look at things from context, and then journey into something new. Whether the translators did a good job or a poor job in chapter breaks is really neither here nor there. Sometimes it's awful and it impedes your study, and other times it's perfect because there's a new thought. I'm not sure this is a great spot to do it, but it works. There's a little three-verse introduction before Paul gets into one of the most important, and I don't want to exaggerate, but I'm going to go ahead and say this, one of the most important passages in the New Testament is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, particularly verse 4 through the end of the chapter. Now, we'll dig into that as this week proceeds, and it's one of those we're going to have to slow down and really take our time, because chapter 3 it's so important to the new covenant because it in vivid color contrasts what happens in Moses' covenant at Sinai with the covenant that Paul believes the Corinthian people are under. The theology that comes out in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is actually the basis for our understanding exactly how free we are from any semblance of Mosaic law. Although you and I are Gentiles, and we were never under the Mosaic law anyhow, but the spirit of law, which is so powerful, the law of sin and death, we've been freed from by the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Why do we need the spirit to free us from the law of sin and death if the law was not also a spirit? And so there's something behind the strength of the law that 2 Corinthians 3 will dig into. So here's what I want to do. I've already spent a lot of time today introducing what we're doing today and this week and as far as my travel and sermons. So I want to cover the first three verses. They're not going to be extremely deep. I don't think there's a need to go too deep. And that sets us up to get the ball rolling tomorrow in verse 4, where we will really dig in for the next couple of weeks and take our time on this powerful passage of the Holy Spirit and the glory of the new covenant. But here's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. You determine for yourself if you think the chapter breaks appropriate. Remember, let me read 17 from chapter 2 first. That's the last verse, and then we'll read right on in. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Do we begin to commend ourselves? That's the first phrase of chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Okay, I'm not sure it's a great break. Paul ends the second chapter with this interesting statement that comes right on the heels of you being the aroma of Christ in the nostrils of God, and says, we're not peddling the word of God, we're not adulterating the word for gain, and then opens chapter 3 with the question, do we begin again to commend ourselves? To me, those two verses go together. It's Paul saying, listen, I want to do the right thing. I haven't always went through the door properly. I triumph in Christ. We smell good in the nostrils of God regardless, but at least I'm not peddling this for money. Do I need to commend myself to you? Do I need to go get a letter of commendation to you or from you? You are our apostle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. So it's sort of as if Paul is kind of justifying himself in front of the Corinthians. And he does, again, get a little snarky as he says, do I need to go get a letter of commendation so you believe that I am who I say I am? Do I need to get a commendation from you? We're closer than this. We're tighter than this. You are an epistle written in my heart, known and read by all men. 3, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but tables of flesh, that is the heart. Now, this is a setup verse for the tables of stone, that which is written and engraved on stones coming up in just a few verses. But I love the phrase, I've preached this before, an epistle of Christ in verse 3. It's an odd statement because an epistle is a letter and Jesus didn't write one. Paul doesn't claim Jesus wrote a letter, but he says Christ is writing a letter. And what's it look like? It looks like the Corinthian church. It's been ministered by me, and it's been written not with ink, but by the Holy Spirit. Not on stone, but on flesh, that is on your heart. And you as well are a living epistle of Christ. Christ is writing a love letter to the world. He starts it at Calvary. He springs it into a new world at the resurrection. He pours the ointment of the Holy Spirit into that story at Pentecost, and he mobilizes that love through his church. It's not proper to say that there are new books being written to the Bible, but it is technically correct to say that there's an ongoing epistle being written. It's an epistle of Christ and what he looks like in his church. And that's you and that's me. Tomorrow we get started on this behemoth of a third chapter, beginning in verse 4. I'll see you then. God bless.